5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Liftoff.
Hello, flyover family. Buckle up, because this is a flyover conservative show.
We won!
Yes!
So why is everyone acting like we lost?
That's a good question.
Tonight we're going to be joined with Doug Billings. We're going to talk about the real red wave that just took place.
Our favorite weekly segment and yours, we are joined by the producer of The Absolute Truth, Brianna Morello.
One of the most alarming things in our world right now is the rising rate of autism. Tonight we're joined by a doctor who has a solution and a woman with a life-changing testimony.
So good. All of this and more on the Flyover Conservative Show! Welcome to Flyover Conservative Podcast with David and Stacey Whited, where we break down current events and examine culture through the lens of conservative Christian values.
Today on the Flyover Conservative Podcast, we have somebody that is kind of a hometown hero.
He is.
For us in the land of...
I'm so proud to say I live here because he lives here too.
The land of barbecue, God's land, the promised land right
That's
here.
That's right.
Home of the Chiefs.
That's true.
Kansas City, Missouri. None other than the one, the only, Doug Billings.
Yay!
Woo! Hey guys. Merry Christmas to you, your family, and your audience. Merry Christmas.
Thank you so much, Doug.
You know, in your wardrobe, you have like your A string, you know, the first things you get. But, you know, you develop a lot of T-shirts, especially when you go to live events and you're at things. People give you stuff. And, you know, you have the B string and you like them, but you don't really wear them.
Yeah, you don't wear
unless
them.
The A's dirty. And you have like C string that you keep because maybe it means something, or you just, you know, like me, and you kind of just don't throw stuff away like you should. But you only kind of have the A. The first starter... You know, the Michael Jordan of my A-string T-shirts happens to be this right side.
Well,
it is amazing. It is so soft.
It's amazing. I joke because we tried to model our T-shirts off of it.
And we did.
I'm like, what is this woven from? And I'll try to get something that's made out of like the lint from Angel's belly button or something.
You guys, that's just nice. I can hook you up. The guy just happens to be in Kansas City.
Oh,
awesome.
The thing I would say though is if you wanted to really capture the market, you should have this material turned into boxer briefs. And
I should
that say the right side with Doug on the back of him or whatever.
A line of the right side undergarments. It might be a good idea.
The right side rock and wear down you know, keep yourself happy down below. It would be an amazing product. You'd probably sell millions of them, but people can they get that? Are they still available at DougBillings.us?
They can, yeah. They can get them at the right side website, DougBillings.us. We've got a little marketplace over there that people could get those and hats and mugs and tumblers, whatever. But yes, they are available.
I love it. He's not kidding, though. Honestly, I see this in the laundry all the time. And he's always like, hey, where's my T-shirt? And I'm like, dude, you just wore it.
Also, the way it hangs is kind of slimming as well.
I know, you look really nice.
It just kind of just fits nice. I agree. Yep. And it is soft. I'm not kidding you. It is very soft. I thank you guys for bringing that up.
So if you want a T-shirt that's very soft and makes you look 10% thinner than you actually are,
That's the T-shirt for
which
you.
Which it's easier when you live, you know, it's either stop eating barbecue or buy one of Doug's shirts. And if you do this, you can actually wear this to go eat barbecue if you ever come to Kansas City. You know,
that's
so
right.
it's a win.
Thank you guys. That's nice. Of
absolutely.
Well, Doug, we're coming off of you know, midterms, and you know, here's something I observe. I want to get your take on this. We got one side that's like, hey, you know, celebrating. Hey, we didn't lose too bad, and they're feeling really good about it. And you got another side that's saying, hey, you know, the conservatives are like, man, we barely won a whole lot, and they feel defeated about it. And there's kind of this opposing. It's like after the Super Bowl, you got the team that should be celebrating. Hey, we're going to Disney World. Like, oh, we only won by a field goal, you know, kind of a thing. And the other team lost, and they're like, hey, we only lost by a field goal.
Yeah.
They're like happier about their loss. You know, what's up with these two sides, and how do you process that?
Yeah, it's a lot to process. Look, at the end of the day, too many people, me included, by the way, I thought that when we looked at the national level, Washington, D.C., we look at the House and the Senate, I thought for sure, based on what I saw in each of those states and the people that were up running and the seats that were vacant, I thought for sure in the House we would get 50 to 60 seats. Now, we got enough. We got close to 40, and we got the majority in the House, but I thought we would have a much stronger majority over there. On the Senate side, I thought maybe 4 or 5 seats. If it was a good night, we would get 6, and we didn't. And so, but let me comment about why I think that happened. One is, first of all, I'm shocked that in the at the federal level, there would be anybody with any semblance of any intellectual maturity that would vote for the continuation of the chaos that's been inflicted upon us by Joe Biden, Administrator Biden, and his Communist Socialist Party. Clearly, they are not a pro-America political party. No. Evidence of the obvious is sufficient. We can go down a long list of things from the border to gas to energy up to foreign affairs. We can go down a huge list and talk about any number of items that have been nothing but chaotic and purposefully inflicted upon us. So, number one, take your eyes off of Washington, D.C. for a minute. Don't focus on D.C., but look at the republic as a whole, because, ladies and gentlemen, here's the thing. The rhino population of the elected class, the MCs, the mix, the McConnells, the McCarthys, the McDaniels, those, the mix, as I say, the MCs, they've got to go. They're not on our side. They're not true conservatives. They're rhinos, and their demographic within the elected class will not allow their committee to talk about the fact that we did indeed have a red wave, a huge red wave. Now, we know that the Communist Socialist wouldn't talk about that anyway, nor would the mainstream media. All three of those groups want you to believe that we just landed flat on our face. Mm-hmm. All the expectations were not met, and it was a disaster. But when we look across the republic, 194 wins to only 9 losses. President Trump tweeted that out himself, and it's true. When we look at it that way, there's huge, huge wins. And it was not a red wave. It was a red earthquake and a tsunami and a tornado all rolled into one. It was a fantastic night. And we've had incredible gains as a result in the local communities. And you and I, you guys know, we're on the Reawaken America tour together. And our mutual friend, General Flynn, his words echoed all through that week when we had the midterm. Local action, national impact.
Yep.
And we will. It has to, the change that we want in this republic, the rescue from the Communist Socialist grip will not happen from the top. It's not going to happen from the president, Trump, or anyone else. It's not going to happen from the military. It's got to happen from the bottom up, and it begins with we the people. And we can go on and talk about more, because there's lots of hope that surrounds all of that. 14 states in 2022 outlawed critical race theory precisely because people got involved at the local level and won school board vacancies and fired woke school superintendents. Yep. That's just one example. But
you've talked about New York as well. Touch on New York. What happened in New York?
Well, yeah, we had five seats in the state of New York that flipped from communist socialism to conservative candidates. Five.
That's amazing.
Now, that's incredible. In the state of New York, and it just goes to show you, you and I, we've all three been up to New York at the Reawaken America tour. Much like California, there's a huge population of conservative people up there that are hungry for the truth. And I think there's more than what we're being told.
Man, that is so true. So, Doug, you've just come out with a new book called Remaking the American Political System. What inspired you to write that book, and tell our listeners about the book?
Thanks, Stacey, for bringing it up. The book, really, the inspiration is Biden. The inspiration is the Communist Socialist grip on this country. And then number three, the panic that I see amongst conservatives, which it's understood. I understand why we look at this republic and we go, oh, no. But I wanted to make sure that we refocus on what the founders' intent, the founding fathers, what their intent was for this republic, how to get back to that, how to govern ourselves accordingly, how to save our youth. I spend a lot of time in the book talking about that and about how to root out and quell the effect of rhinos within our party. But ultimately, the main thrust of the book is to remind us that the founding fathers had an intent for us, and we have fallen far, far away from it.
Man, it's so
what's kind of your target market for a book like this? We have Christmas coming up. Is this kind of a thing where is this good for anybody? Is it specifically geared towards a specific demographic, to parents, a dad,
for people? I mean, on our side, I would think that would be geared for conservatives or the moderate who wants to see hope, who looks around at the republic and sees the purposeful chaos from the Communist Socialist Party, and we're trying to juxtapose that against, well, wait a minute, what did the founding fathers mean and intend for this republic? So people who that are at least passively interested in and willing to learn about the Republic and where we've been and where we are. People that want to have hope, people that feel desperately hopeless right now, mm-hmm. will enjoy reading the book because they'll be happy, I think, to know that 2024 is not the worst year in American politics. There's many elections have been stolen. Many have been tried to be stolen. But this is not the first time. We are in a relative good spot with regards to where we are as a republic. It's the government that's the mess. We are neighbors. Yeah. And we travel the country and we can meet people. We can have debate. Jane and John Doe on the streets of America read this mm-hmm. book and they get hope. They understand how to reclaim the republic. And it's a simple, look, I'm no Shakespeare, so it's automatically a simple read, but it'll give you nice historical perspectives along the way.
I love it. You know, so many things I even heard you say earlier, and you know our slogan we say here, wake up, speak up, and show up. But yes, we all wanted President Trump to do 80 million things to save our country. And what we've learned over this last couple of years, what we really need is 80 million of us doing one thing every single day to save our own country. And that's what you were talking about earlier, these school boards that have been flipped. So many things that are happening that are extremely positive in this country. And speaking of President Trump, there you are with President Trump.
Thank you. Yep. If we could do both, we could have him come back and do 80 million things, save our country, and at the same time, 80 million of us doing. Now that's a dynamic combination.
That is powerful.
What are your big takeaways and conversations? You've been there before. You're going to go back again to Mar-a-Lago. You've had private conversations with President Trump. How are his spirits? How's he feeling?
Yeah, he's good. He's exactly like you see him on television. He looks the same. He sounds the same. He behaves with great grace. I was at Mar-a-Lago with him, had the opportunity to meet him twice so far, heading back there in a few days. Look, he's got a great sense of humor. He is welcoming. He's gracious. He's not a patient man with regards to, hey, let's get to the point. He wants to get to the point, get through the conversation. When I met him, that picture that you're showing, that's last April of 2022. And I was asking him at that time, so are you going to run? I mean, that's the big question. Sure. Are you going to run? And who are you going to choose for your VP? What are you thinking? And I wish I could imitate him. I wish I could do his voice. I can't. But in the best Trumpian example that I can muster, he looks at me and he goes, I think you're going to be very happy.
that's pretty good, Doug.
But for me, that's a yes. That's he was going to run. So in April, I began to run with it. I just had that feeling in my gut. Could that statement have meant something else? Of course. But I just had that feeling in my gut. He was going to go mm-hmm. for it. And we'll see. You know, there's lots. I'm so happy he's running. We have a big a task ahead of us to convince those, even on our side, that mm-hmm. he's the right one for the job. Some snowflake, wishy-washy conservatives who think they're Republicans are thinking he's divisive and we're not going to win with Trump. My opinion is there's nobody else on the planet that can do it but Trump. Right. Ron DeSantis, I think he's a rock star. Amazing guy. Love the guy.
He's crushing his job as governor.
Oh my gosh. And I had floated the idea Trump DeSantis, and people would say, well, they can't. They're from the same state. There's no law that says they can't. It's a strategic reason why they wouldn't, perhaps, but they could do it. And if they didn't need Florida's votes, they could sow it, they could do it, and they could run, and they would be invincible. I'm going to bring mm-hmm. it up to him on Tuesday when I'm there, just to float that balloon and see what he says. I don't know how much of the media story, General Flynn has said they don't really care for each other. I don't know how much of that is true at the deepest levels, mm-hmm. but can you imagine? Because guys, we're not just after four more years with Trump, we're after 12 with Trump and whoever he chooses.
Right.
And so if that's DeSantis, I don't think DeSantis can do it now. I don't think he's ready. I think Washington, D.C. would chew him up and spit him out. Yeah. Trump is the only one that's proven that he can do mm-hmm. this and be resilient enough to resist whatever they throw at him.
Well, and him running showed us that he wants to do that. And I think that's really important for the American people to see that, because he put up with 4 years of just
hell,
you know, and everything that he's gone through even in the last couple of years. And for him to say, hey, I'm willing to do this again. I mean, that's pretty remarkable.
And that demonic beast of a machine that is the fake news that he really uncovered, he sort of pulled the curtain back on and people saw that it's anybody you see on your screen, whether it's LeBron James, professional athlete of any kind, if it's a celebrity, if it's The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, I don't care who it is. They're mm-hmm. only saying what they're allowed to be saying by their handlers, by the people that run the media machine. They won't come on and say, this shoe company is doing a wrong mm-hmm. thing, or they won't say anything about the CCP, or like that's all a concerted effort, all for one political party. Mm-hmm. And it's still strong and still thriving. And I think he would be the only one that could stand up against that, you know, for 4 years straight and totally chop its head off.
I agree. I'm right. I agree. And just think, imagine, I mean, we all can look back in time because hindsight's 2020. What a great job he did, all of his accomplishments. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are pages upon pages. But just imagine, guys, if he does win again in 2024, he knows now the game. He knows what to do. He's getting a head start. That's why he's nominating and endorsing all of these candidates, because if he wins, they're going to owe him. And when you look back, one of his Achilles heels was that he didn't have a lot of loyalty in his inner circle. And so I think that he's trying to remedy that to a degree, clearly with the elected class. But then also I think that he's screening folks for his real inner circle. So that he'll just know so much more going in this time.
Man, that's so true. Okay, Doug, where's the best place for people to get your book?
Thanks, Stacey. It's my website, dougbillings.us. Dougbillings.us. It'll be right over there. And they'll see a pop-up window that'll appear. And if they want to subscribe to the website, I'll be happy to do that and send them a book with an autograph. There's a page in there. They can have me sign it to whomever they want. And I promise it will be me who drives the book to the post office and mails it to them.
Wow, that's incredible. So they can do the one-year membership. They could get an ebook for $9.95. They can get a copy of it for $15.95 or for $24.95, a hard cover. So that's incredible. Yeah,
And if they sign up for that one of 20 a year, the book is part of that. So the book is thrown in for free on that deal.
Do you do personal inscriptions? Like if people, is there a place they could put in a request? Like I could say like,
I do.
Sign to David, the smartest man I know.
Yes.
You choked yourself up.
We have
the crown prince of Kansas City.
Yeah,
David Whited. That would be good. That's got a good ring. Something like that.
That is awesome. Doug, thank you so much for coming on the show today. Thank you for everything that you're doing to help to save our country. We really do appreciate it.
This is probably our favorite segment that we do
because
we learn a lot. You guys learn a lot. It gives you the ability to be able to look at the news cycles, to look at the world through the eyes of a professional news producer, somebody that's been in the room at Fox News, at Newsmax, at Major League Baseball, somebody who speaks fluent sarcasm and is the current producer of The Absolute Truth with Emerald Robinson. And she has probably one of the best Substacks going as well. The one, the only, Brianna Morello.
Yay!
Thank you, guys. Always a pleasure to be with you both.
We are so excited. We love this segment.
For those of you just watch it, we go through her Twitter feed because she's a bright light in that spot. Even before Elon came along and he's trying to do whatever he's trying to do over there in the Twitter sphere, she was the beacon of light and hope of conservatism in Twitter and kind of able to stick
to wake people up
around there and puts out snarky, sarcastic, fun knowledge bombs, again with quite a bit of sarcasm built in there, which is very fun. It makes the news cycle better.
It does.
And let's just jump in right out of the gate with on your Twitter feed. We just pull a few of these random out and kind of throw them at Brianna. Thanksgiving. Producer Colton's going to read these for us today, but I want to hear about your Thanksgiving. This is what you said going into it and see if you did it.
Brianna said, "Happy Thanksgiving. Just a reminder, today is a great day to bring up politics at the dinner table. The change starts with you. Corner your liberal relatives with facts today."
I love it.
So how was your Thanksgiving?
Mine was great. I mean, I did get invited to Thanksgiving, of course, but I did not go home to see my family. I stayed in Florida this time around. But I feel like everyone needs to take the opportunity into their own hands and lecture and hold their relatives down and tell them you're not getting turkey until you speak badly about Joe Biden.
No, awesome.
It's just, I love doing it when I am at home for the holidays. My mom always sends out a generic text when she knows it's supposed to be a group text that goes out to all of us. It doesn't say anyone by name, but obviously I know it's talking to me. It says, "No politics at the dinner table." Because we do have some, you know, relatives, some family members who are left-leaning, would be the nice way of phrasing it. Yep. And so they get easily offended, as many of you probably have already assumed. So there's a no politics rule, which is always broken every year. It's my tradition. And I look forward to keeping it going. forward.
That is hilarious.
Well, it is hard though. That's what you do for a living.
Yeah.
Is you're scanning the news all the time and you're pulling out these stories. So, all right, well, let's keep
it. It keeps the conversation going.
Yes.
At the dinner table and off of the weather.
You're welcome at our Thanksgiving anytime.
Yeah, so. We'd love it.
Thank you.
Tweet number two. The mRNA vaccines didn't work. The masks didn't work. The lockdowns didn't work. The daily testing didn't work.
Man, that is so true.
You can affirmatively say those now. I know there was an article came out with Epic Times, I think, this weekend, and it came across everywhere. But there's more people now dying of COVID vaccinated than people that are not vaccinated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why no one's talking about it anymore. That's the truth. The truth is that people who are vaccinated are dying from COVID. Well, dying with COVID, I guess I should say. There are so many people who are just randomly dying in their sleep, simply running across a parking lot, doing simple activities that we normally could do every day. Now they're dying from it. Sudden death syndrome among adults has become like this new term that the mainstream media wants to accept into our, definitions. And I've never once used that word. It's not a part of my vocabulary, but now all of a sudden it has to be. Mm-hmm. It's bizarre, but it's a part of the strategy to kind of normalize people who are 17 years old and were formerly mm-hmm. healthy. And then they were forced to get this vaccine that they didn't really need. And now they're dying in their sleep, or they're dying of heart attacks, or there's some type of long-term issues that they're dealing with. It's not normal, and we need to push back and stop allowing them to pretend like it is. We know it's not, but they've done a great job normalizing it. Yeah. I was actually watching Tucker Carlson earlier this week, and one of his guests made a great point. You know when you watch a commercial, and it's a pharmaceutical company commercial, it's for medication, and they list all the side effects.
Yep.
Well, the vaccine doesn't have to do that. They could sit here and they get this free promo because Joe Biden and everyone in the administration is promoting it. And they never once admit or even list what the side effects of that vaccine are. And we know that there's side effects to it because we force them to release that information.
Yep.
So it's unfortunate. It's really sad. But we need to keep drilling it home with everyone because they don't want you to talk about the vaccines, how they failed, the long-term effects that they're causing on people now. That's why no one's pushing for these vaccines anymore. But we have to keep reminding people they didn't work. The masks didn't work. The lockdowns didn't work. And it's not going to continue to work. And, we saw Dr. Fauci on his way out of the White House reminding Americans to get vaccinated. Mm-hmm. They're even pushing for every 2 months now for Americans to get vaccinated. This is beyond strange. This is clearly there's other motives behind it, which, some speculate. But my point is simple. You can't let up. You have to keep reminding people that they were wrong. They still are wrong. And there needs to be accountability.
Well, yeah, that's true.
They probably will go. They won't tell you the side effects until they at least tell you what was in it.
Yeah.
You see that, we had Steve Kirsch on this week. And it's one of the, the things we showed in that video is like the wrapper. When you unfold this, it's empty.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
For the children.
Nobody knows what's in these things.
It's true. And then obviously we have on there As Seen in Died Suddenly. That's a documentary that just came out a little over a week ago now. Stu Peters, it's on his Rumble channel. You can find it, Died Suddenly, there. That was eye-opening. In fact, I haven't been able to shake it. We've done a lot of interviews about vaccinations, but after watching that, it's been, man, that was very eye-opening.
Sobering.
It was very sobering.
Yeah. Yeah, I follow their Twitter account, and every time I see it, it always just get really sad when there's a tweet that they sent out about somebody who suddenly died. Mm-hmm. And I think there was another one. There was a woman who posted that she didn't want the vaccine back in 2021, but took it because she wanted to travel. And then a couple of days later, she died.
Oh, that's so sad.
It's heartbreaking, but they forced it onto people.
Yep.
Traveling to me wasn't worth it. Traveling to you guys wasn't worth it.
Nope.
We held on our own. It's unfortunate that not enough Americans did so as well.
Mm-hmm. This might mess up the order that these are queued up in. Maybe producer Colton can work on this, but you've had friends that were forced to take this in previous work environments. We have a tweet about this, about one of your former coworkers that basically, I guess we go ahead and just read the tweet. This is kind of on the same topic, kind of sobering.
One of my former Fox Corps colleagues reached out. He tells me he is having heart issues after being forced by HR to get the vaccine. He fears going public, but he's dealing with the side effects of getting the experimental COVID vaccine. My heart breaks for these people.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. So this is one individual who told me when I was going through my whole vaccine thing, don't badmouth Fox. He's been with the company for years through thick and thin. And so he's one of the loyal people over at the company. He got the vaccine because he just didn't want to get put on unpaid leave or risk, getting put on unpaid leave. So he did get it. And I don't know why he didn't follow for any exemptions. I never really went into detail with him. but now he's got like an abnormal heartbeat is what he was saying to me. I don't know the specifics of it specifically, but like I have sympathy, but I also, on the other hand, don't, because when like people come up to me now who worked at Fox, some people who I never even, because Fox is a massive company, so I didn't really know everyone who was there. And I also towards the end was working remotely. So now people are coming to me and they're looking to talk to me about what's going on. And although I understand coming forward, it's very important. But when you're not confronting human resources, which I did, I got into a, you know, massive conflicts, but I kept it in emails intentionally. When you're not pushing back and you're not challenging them and you're just complying, or you're just leaving the company but not telling them why you're leaving the company, taking your job elsewhere in hopes that maybe in a year you can come back when this is all blows over. Like, that's not standing up for yourself or for your colleagues. Like, you have to speak up and you have to say something. And so it's unfortunate, you know, this person, I was like, well, maybe you should come out and say something about it. Doesn't want me to mention his name, what part of Fox he worked in, nothing like that. So I understand it. I understand the fear that's involved in there. Cause once like everyone knows, like I'm never going to ever probably end up back in corporate media. Like they're never having me back in, which is fine. Cause there's no lost feelings there. I don't want to go back. But that's not the case for everyone. People like having a secure job that pays them a set salary and that's going to be there forever. So they don't want to burn that bridge. So I understand, but I lack empathy. People call me all the time to tell me their stories and want me to amplify it through, you know, them being anonymous. And I get that. And I don't mind doing so, but it's also, it doesn't make you a fighter. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the clear and obvious point. People need to start coming out and speaking up for themselves.
And that's true.
You know, who cares about the repercussions?
That's why we have here behind us, you know, when we started this whole podcast, Wake Up, Speak Up, and Show Up, the Lord told us that. We were on a walk one day and he said, that is what we have to do. If you're going to get your country back, people have to wake up, they have to speak up, and they have to show up. It's so critical that our voices are heard.
Exactly. 100%. Yeah. And it's unfortunate. Not everybody wants to speak up, but they have to.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree.
Next one.
And because of your opinions, maybe you get some shade thrown at you.
Yeah.
Brianna says, I mute people that insult me. I block people that are too dumb for me. Chances are, if you're still seeing this, you're good.
And hey, I see it on my Twitter feed, so I guess I'm good. Hey, Stace, we're still.
Hey. Yeah. Yes. We follow Brianna.
We're not mean or dumb.
No.
I might have other problems, but I'm not mean or dumb.
Yeah. Well, Dave, remember when you were asking me, like, hey, there's some mean comments people leave you. Like, how come you don't? And I'm like, honestly, I don't see them.
That's so smart.
And you're like, hey, what do you mean? This is what I do. I view people who are just mean. And there's a lot of mean people online. I don't really care for it. I don't care to block you, though, because I feel like you commenting on it and you seeing it is going to impact your day somehow. So I'm going to make sure you can still see it. But I block people who are too dumb for me. People who want to have conversations that just don't make any sense. Like, you want to counter my opinion, which I love to hear from people, but you want to counter my opinion with your stupidity. And then there's no facts behind it. There's nothing. I at that point, I don't argue emotions. So
I was going to say, you don't delete people that disagree with you. Because you'll have great conversations in the back and forth. So anyway, I thought that was kind of good. It's kind of a good rule for people, though, you know, because, you know, we kind of hit this place as well where we're kind of curating even like our Facebook, you know, list and things like that. I'm like, this doesn't bring any life or joy. This person only comes on to be angry about certain kinds of posts. They're not really engaged in my normal life. If I got a picture of my grandkid or, hey, we did this thing, or it's only if you have a post on a certain topic, they'll come on and just poop on you. And I'm like, this is not a life-giving thing. I wouldn't be friends in real, you know, I wouldn't have dinner with somebody that treated me like that. So I don't know. I need you on my social media either.
It's true.
Yeah. Yeah. No, 100%. Social media can be toxic, so you have to make it a healthier place for you. So whatever you have to do, do it. I support it.
Bye, Felicia.
Bye, Felicia.
Next.
You out of here.
Journalism is asking Bill Gates what he was doing while meeting with Jeffrey Epstein. Too many reporters want to play footsie with him rather than confront him about his hangout sessions with a convicted pedo.
Man, that is so true.
Journalism—that's a word we probably need to even look up now.
Mm-hmm. What exactly is the definition of journalism today?
Yeah, they only practice it when it's a Republican in the White House. Otherwise, it's all fluffy little answers, and it's just reading off a press release. It's interesting. I'm trying to remember what the interview was that Bill Gates recently did. He was asked by a female journalist about his dealings with Jeffrey Epstein, and he gave a very kind of nothing like, nothing that I would consider to be a legitimate answer, saying I shouldn't have hung out with him. I shouldn't have been, there you go, the definition of journalism. But like, there was nothing of substance there. And it was just, do you regret meeting him? Not do you regret meeting him. Do you, what did you do with him? What were you right. guys doing? Mm-hmm. Because you hung out on several occasions. And at the time he was a convicted pedophile. He wasn't somebody who we didn't know was a pedophile.
Right.
So you knowingly did that. And then when all that information came out, your wife left you.
Yeah.
So
clearly, I was thinking something might happen. Come out. I was thinking maybe something might would come out when that was all going down. Probably
some contingencies in
there. I was wondering, you know, like, ooh, okay.
But I just can't imagine a relationship. Like, okay, my son and I just went deer hunting, okay, 2 weekends in a row. You know, Stacey asked me, hey, tell me some other guys that were there and this kind of stuff. Okay, it was this. There's Larry and his friend. You know, okay, I met this guy. Hey, you know, if one of them was like a famous, world-renowned, convicted pedophile, she'd have been like, I don't know. Those are probably good guys to be exactly. going in and hunting with and hanging out with and do activities.
You become more like the people you hang around.
I mean, it would.
Yeah, well.
You know, mm-hmm. there's nobody in my world that I would ever hang out with. You know, it's like you don't spend time with someone like that flying on their private jet doing things just because, well, he's, you know, maybe when he drinks, he swears a lot. It's just something you're going to overlook.
It's different.
This is a whole different category of human being. That's a monster.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And the charges that he pleaded guilty to were a cover-up charge for his friends. And so there's just no excuse for it. He was clearly mm-hmm. doing something on Epstein Island and with Jeffrey Epstein. And the public deserves answers because he sits here and he acts like he's like he's God and he can lecture the rest of us about things. And,
acts like he's a doctor.
He's not even a doctor. Yeah, it's so strange and how he gives you medical advice. He wants to give us food advice even though he's overweight.
Yeah,
it's and then he lectures about overpopulation and all the other things. It doesn't make any sense for anybody who is an independent thinker to follow what he says. And it doesn't make any sense to continue to allow him to go on and lecture the rest of us as if we're beneath him. We need to listen to him because there's nothing of value that he's offering to us. But most importantly, I want to know what he did with Jeffrey Epstein. I think that's the most important part. And unfortunately, I don't know if we're ever going to figure that out. When he was going through his divorce proceedings, though, it seemed like his ex-wife was trying to, through the media, trying to hint that she's going to drop the bombs if he doesn't do as she says.
Yep.
And so I think that's why that settled pretty quickly, that divorce.
Yep. That makes sense.
Man, what a mess. And again, journalism is supposed to be the thing that holds powerful people accountable. Mm-hmm. Today, journalists are simply a megaphone and they run cover for the elites and powerful.
That's right.
And that's really the crux of one of the main things that's wrong with our culture is there's not that level of public accountability.
Yep. So true. All right, Colton, what you got next? Yeah.
If Apple pulls Twitter from the Apple store, I'm going to need a new cell phone. At Elon Musk, maybe it's time to start coming up with your own line of mobile devices.
Man, that is a great point. You know, you saw that too when Parler, you know, was trying to come out. You know, it's like, all right, they can basically control anything that they want to control, you know, by just pulling the plug, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that concerning? So Elon Musk says everything's all good now with Apple. They've smoothed things out. But that's not the point. The point is that they did threaten to do this to you, right? Yeah. This isn't a misunderstanding. They did this to you. It wasn't until you met with them in person. And then it's the shakedown of the superpowers because Elon Musk is probably just as equally powerful, I'd say, as Tim Cook is. But then you have Apple who went back and sided with the CCP and started altering people's airdrops in China so they can't organize protests and they can't communicate without being surveilled by the CCP. So, they were okay with doing that, Apple. They were okay with that kind of censorship and siding with the Communist Party. And then I think it was John Kirby who was asked yesterday on Thursday by Fox, Fox News anchor, was grilled upon it. And he just kept saying, listen, Apple's a private company. We're not stepping in to tell Apple what to do when it comes to dealing with the CCP and in their business in China, which is deeply concerning because, as many of you know, they had no problem saying we're going to keep an eye on Elon Musk as him. He's a private person who purchased Twitter, right? But we're going to keep an eye on him. Plus, they had no problem sending messages, the White House directly sending messages to Twitter and telling them to shut down people's accounts, like you know, journalists, to telling them that they were sending out disinformation because they didn't want the information out there and shutting down their accounts. So they want to nitpick what they want to do. They don't want to cross China. I've never seen an administration do this before where they're so fearful of the Communist Party coming after them with all their force.
Yep.
So they're almost playing footsie with them as well. So it's deeply concerning. It's deeply alarming. But Elon Musk, he's learning a very valuable lesson. He's going to need to be coming out with his own cell phones and all these other things. And we're going to have two different worlds that we're going to live in this country. And you're either going to buy an Apple product and align yourself with a company that aligns itself with the CCP and complies, or you're going to go with probably like an Elon Musk phone, which you know is going to fight for you a little bit when it comes to maintaining your freedoms. So that's the future I see for this country.
Because there's not two good choices. My brother was sending me some texts because he's this Android guy and he always gives me a hard time about iPhone stuff. And I'm like, okay,
is that any better?
So Google's the high road here, right, you know, exactly. It's like, you know, it's all a mess. All right, let's end. Speaking of footsie, somebody that I know nobody on this podcast would want to play footsie with, we're going to end with Sean Hannity, be our final tweet of the week. Why do all the rhinos end up on Sean Hannity?
And that is a great question.
I ask myself
question.
That all the time. Like, do you have to like go through a certification test to prove you're a rhino POS to be a guest on Sean Hannity? Do you got to be Lindsey Graham or like how, what is the narrowing in threshold that he uses?
Yeah. Like this tweet was inspired when I looked up. And so I accidentally left. So when Tucker's show usually ends, I usually turn off the TV.
Yep.
I accidentally made the mistake and left it running. And all of a sudden it's Sean Hannity. And he has Kevin McCarthy on. And there wasn't a single hard question asked to Kevin McCarthy. Not a single hard question asked to him. It was a fluff piece. Kevin McCarthy had very bad bronzer on, probably a really bad makeup artist in his makeup before the interview. And it was just generic softball question. That it was nothing interesting at all. I don't know why he continues to even have a show. I know Sean does own his own private companies. I would give anything to just look at who he's pulling money in from.
Yeah.
Because there's got to be something going on here, right? There's got to be like, he was like talk to your doctor about getting the vaccine. And he was like propping up the vaccine on a show.
Oh, all the time.
Probably at least once a week.
Sean Hannity.
One time. I can't remember what he made last year.
It was around 40 to 60 million more than he deserves.
Millions and millions and millions.
It was ludicrous. Brought to you by
Pfizer.
Someone
who works in that's different. Well, that's the thing. I want to see where he's bringing in money. Now, I did submit a FOIA request to kind of get some information on him, and I have to dig a little bit deeper and look to see what LLCs he does own, because technically you could be just. So I did a FOIA request to the federal government to see if he was getting paid through HHS to promote the vaccine. That came up with nothing. But that doesn't say that it didn't happen. It just says I have to dig a little bit deeper. He's got an LLC that he doesn't really use, but he only does for shady things, or it's in someone else's name, or he was paid through someone. Like there's a lot of different ways to go about doing this. So that investigation is not yet done. We're still on that one. But it's just deeply concerning to me, because it's like, it seems like there's private interest in a lot of these people that he has on his show, and it's not in the interest of, that his audience wants to see. And so it's deeply concerning to me. So there's a theme here. It has to do with Sean Hannity and a bunch of horrible decisions. We saw that with his push of Dr. Oz and pushing out the other primary candidates, who I thought were better candidates, personally. Kathy Barnett was fabulous, and I thought she would have done a better job. Unfortunately, though, he sided with Dr. Oz, and Dr. Oz then earned the endorsement of President Trump. It's all just – he just constantly makes bad decisions, and he's just not good on air, and there's just a whole bunch of – things that have me scratching my head and saying, why are you still here?
Well, he's one of these things you scratch your head a little bit, like, you know, like when you look at like Biden's social media thing, or you look at Katie Hobbs' social media, you know, like I've not personally ran into somebody that like quotes him in a positive way, like Tucker comes up all the time. People
did you see
Tucker's opening monologue? Yeah. He covered this thing here, man. He had January 6th. He went there and you know, brought up Ray Epps. Yep. I mean, Tucker does hard things.
He does. Puts himself at risk.
Sean, never. There's only two things. You'll never be talking bad about the vaccine. You'll never hear him talking bad about anybody that's a certifiable rhino. Mm-hmm. And I don't know anybody likes him. And you go to his comments down below, he has no fans. Like nobody even that follows him on Facebook or Twitter, they like him. Like nobody. I don't know where his, I'm sure there's a demographic, you know, out there that loves Sean, and maybe they fell in love with him back in the day or something like that. But not if you're watching closely and you actually are concerned for conservative media and you're concerned for America first. Sean's not your guy.
Totally agree.
Yeah, if you look at anything, anytime I post anything about Sean Hannity and you go down the comments, it's everyone agreeing with me. Yeah. That's rare. Mm-hmm. Normally I get a lot of people who disagree, but everyone's saying the same. It's like an echo chamber at that point. Mm-hmm. Nobody really likes him. The thing with media that I've learned is so he's in a really good time slot. So his time slot, obviously, between both shows is what keeps people around. He's like the buffer between both of them. But in order to keep that time slot, you have to have people in the higher ups really liking you. Mm-hmm. And so maybe it's the Paul Ryans at Fox who really like him. You know, you never know who's the person who's going to keep pushing for him to stay on air. I watch his show a lot because I obviously worked at Fox. And I never learned anything from his show. Tucker will teach you something that you didn't know before.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why I enjoy watching him.
Totally agree.
Challenge your thinking a little bit. Bring something new to the table. How can people find your Substack?
Me? Just look me up. Brianna Morello. Twitter as well. And same thing, Brianna Morello. You just click it. It's right in my bio. So very easy to get to.
Perfect. And it's BrianaMorello. Brianna, thank you so much for joining us today. We really, really appreciate it. I always learn a lot, and I'm so thankful that you come on the show. We really appreciate your time.
What you doing there, Mom?
Well, Wesley and I got all in the Christmas spirit after decorating, and we decided to make a naughty and nice list. And I have to say, Avery, you're doing quite well.
Really?
So we're trying to decide who all we're going to buy MyPillow stuff for Christmas. You know, if you use promo code FLYOVER, you get up to 66% off when you go to MyPillow.com.
That's a great deal.
Can't beat it.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Promo code FLYOVER.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I'm excited to bring you my biggest bedding sale ever, just in time for Christmas. Get my Giza Dream bed sheets for as low as $29.98. A set of pillowcases, only $9.98. Rejuvenate your bed with a MyPillow mattress topper for as low as $99.99. We also have blankets in a variety of sizes, colors, and styles. We even have blankets for your pets. Get duvets, quilts, down comforters, body pillows, bolster pillows, and so much more, all at the biggest discounts ever. I know my bedding products are perfect for you, and I'm extending my money-back guarantee for Christmas until March 1st, 2023, making them the perfect gifts for your friends, your family, and everyone you know. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code and you'll get huge discounts on all MyPillow bedding products, including my Giza Dream bed sheets, for as low as $29.98. Get all your shopping done now while quantities last.
This is in our bodies. We have to get rid of it.
We love that little intro there. I might even see if we can play that a couple of times. Producer Colton has been working on that. But, you know, it's because this individual has made a big impact in our life. He's somebody that we used to follow for years on his YouTube channel. And you would learn a lot because he's a guy that understands health, medicine, politics, and
what's going on in our world.
Get in anything. And he's just a researcher and a studier. So we had the opportunity to be able to bring him on as a guest in the show. We jumped at it. We call him the parakiller because the freakiest thing he ever talks about is parasites.
True.
And it's made a big impact in our health and our life. Dr. Jason Dean.
Yay!
Woo! I love your guys' intro.
And that's so cool.
It's so cool. And I love the clapping coming in. And you guys do it for every guest, which I think is amazing. I just love how your show is done.
We do that in our home.
Thank you.
That's an extension of our real life. When people walk into our house, you know, if they even like if you know, when Colton comes over, you know, our kids are like, they walk in, we still like, stop what you're doing. The TV,
turn off the TV.
People are the most important thing, and you clap for them. And sometimes they're like, oh, I don't know. I feel about
celebration
that.
Of life. It's a celebration of life.
But like at that moment, you're the most important thing.
That's
you know?
Right.
And the same way with this show. So sometimes see people in the comments give us a hard time with it. And I'm like, you know what? That's what we do. So, you know, we do think people are the most important thing. And that's why I think it's so important to take care of people, to take care of your own people first, your own self, and make sure you're healthy you know, for the people that, that depend on you and taking care of your body and the stuff that you're doing for your practice. You know, we had some friends just come up and visit you and just were blowing us up on the way back. Just, excited. We love this guy. Mm-hmm. This is exactly what we needed. It's kind of like a cliche, but you're changing lives.
That has been the purpose for my wife and I have been practicing, I think, now almost 20 years. Wow. She was a doctor before I was, but she actually converted me over to that side. And
you're not so even actually the smartest doctor in your own home.
No,
actually.
No, I am not. I fully admit I give it to her. She's actually teaching right now. I'm on the road. She's teaching other doctors right now. And I go back down after I'm done here and start assisting her again. But that is the purpose. Literally every single day we wake up, the purpose is, whether it's in physical practice or it's in life, change someone's life. That's Amen. What it is. And our purpose extension is, we must change the healthcare paradigm in this country. You know what pharma is doing. You know what medicine doing. You know what Fauci is doing now. Yep. Now we have to do the opposite and bring people back over to nature, right. God, what was created for us on this earth.
Man, it's so, so true. You know, last week we were actually talking about kids with the parasites and killing the parasites in kids. And we got a huge response, even from our own daughter-in-law. She was so excited when she watched this, and she already had the supplements for it, but she ended up ordering more because she's like, we need more, you know, because our kids are so important. They're the next generation that we are bringing up. And we're going to talk some more about that this week. And I think it's so important. And I love what you guys are doing. You're not just helping adults. You are helping our children.
Yeah, this is actually something that came to us, 15 plus years ago now. I actually had a little quiet talk with God internally as I was driving down the road. And I said, I demanded, I should say this, jokingly at the time, because, you know, you have those moments with God where you're like, come on, this is getting ridiculous. And I challenged and I said, we have to stop this. We have to stop the destruction of our children, autism, vaccines, et cetera. And I basically said, hey, we need to stop this. I demanded him to stop it, which when you demand God to stop something, it always comes back to you. And so behind the scenes, all of a sudden out of nowhere, I get all this stuff happening in my world where I'm put on the tour with Clay and everybody going out and speaking about this. But then in 2020, actually, I think I did a live election special. I live streamed the election and the fraud. And I had this woman come in. She's called in and she helped reverse her own child's autism. And she was pro-vaccine. She was pro-vaccine. And then she flipped over to basically anti-vaccine because she saw what it did to her son. And I told her, I'm like, great job. Thank you so much for calling in. And she goes, I would like to help you. I said, well, I'm a business guy, so you have to like hound me to want to help me. She pounded my messenger behind the scenes. Next thing you know, I'm hiring this woman on. She's my assistant slash producer now, and you're going to meet her in a little bit. She literally, this was one of God's answers, putting her in my world so that we can start impacting more people through vaccine injury and heavy metal injury.
It's huge. So he threw it back into your corner. When you were demanding it from him, he's like, no, no, no. We're going to put it right back on you.
You put it on his plate and he says, you know what? You do it then. It's your work. So I found myself in so many situations where I'm like, oh my gosh, that question. He answered the question, but then he put me in those situations to make the difference in the world.
I love that.
The world has changed a lot in a rapid way. Like, you know, even like our experiences as far as like, you know, we didn't have cell phones or we didn't have, you know, some of the things you have to do parenting wise. Now, you know, I watch our kids parent, you know, our grandkids, and they have these decisions like, you know, how much screen time do they get and stuff like this? Like, well, we didn't have those kind of, you know, they can't model it off of what was done with them because there was no screen time when our kids were little, because there was, you know, other than a TV, you know, that was around and, you know, VHS or something. So it's like
with a few channels,
all these things are changing so rapidly. I think back when I was in grade school, there was this kid named Jason Hopkins. And I remember him because he wasn't allowed to have chocolate milk when we had lunch. And he says, because it made him hyper. He used this term, makes him a hyper. You know, that was like the diagnosis or whatever. Someone had given him, you know, whatever, maybe it's because of sugar, you know, in it or something like that. But I thought, that's a weird thing. He's not allowed to have chocolate milk because it makes him hyper. And I never heard that word. I thought, hyper, what's he do? Did he turn into the Hulk? You know, but there were just very few issues that come up. There wasn't like a lot of prescriptions that the teacher had when I was in school that then had to give those out or, you know, any of these kind of things. Like, it was very simple. And then I noticed as our kids came up, there was a lot more issues. When their friends would visit, there'd be a list of things, and it's still kind of moderate. And then, you know, now the kinds of issues, the kinds of challenges parents have on every front is so different than even what our kids had, and for sure what we had.
Right.
No, 100%. So it's so funny you say that, because when I grew up in high school, I remember high school, we had one kid who was diabetic in our class, right? And he had a legitimate issue he was dealing with. Nobody else in the class, nobody else in the school that I even knew of had any health issues, anything like that. People were still eating real food. My mom told me, like, you'll eat what's on the plate or you won't eat tonight. And she, and my mom had a tough upbringing. She was an alcoholic for the longest time. She's recovered now, but like, she still knew the basics of life. But you look at today now, we didn't have cell phones. I was only allowed to play a video game for like maybe an hour a week, max, something like that. Like, it just, we've all flipped over. But then also you see, I mean, autism went from 1 in 10,000 or less to down. We're down to 1 in 20 or less now. Wow. Everything has changed. Our kids are getting sicker. America's getting sicker. And, you know, adults can make their own decisions, but a lot of times these kids can't make their own decisions. Yeah. And this is why we focus so much on the kids, especially the vaccine injury, the heavy metal injury, glyphosate, toxins. They can't always make that decision on their own. Their parents are the ones making that decision. So we've really focused hardcore on the children, because you want to save a country, you want to save a planet, you save the children, the next generation.
Man, and that story that you shared earlier, I'm really excited. We've had the opportunity to work with your producer. She's absolutely amazing, and she is going to be on the show today sharing her testimony with autism. So welcome to the show, Nicolette Baim! Yay!
Thank you so much for having me.
We're so excited.
I do love that intro.
Yeah.
I just got to say,
feels good.
Also, you got a very respectable flag behind you there. It's got an artistic flair. Still love America. You know, the Flower family is going to love you. You're in a good space here.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me on. I wanted to come on today because I saw Dr. Dean talk about the kids last week. And honestly, what really started me on this healthcare road is my son. He was diagnosed at 2.5, but I specifically saw his regression right after his MMR vaccine at 1 year. He was talking and everything before 1 year, babbling, and he went completely silent to drooling, tiptoe walking and everything right after having his MMR at 1 year. So that's when I started asking questions, and I finally was able to get him diagnosed, because there is such a long wait list to get them diagnosed with medical doctors right now. Like, it's 4 or 5 months out, if that. Then there's like 7-hour doctor's appointments. I finally got him diagnosed, and then they hit me with a bill of $90,000 a year for therapies. And it wasn't covered by insurance, and it wasn't therapies like, you know, let's try to get to the root of the problem. It was just like behavioral therapies. And I said, there has to be a better way. I can't afford this. And two, like, why are we not, nobody knows, you know, they say it's genetic, they say this, they say that. And so I started doing research. And it was actually before I met Dr. Jason that I found a heavy metal detox. My son was diagnosed at 2.5, and I started it probably around the age of 3. Within a week, he was speaking.
What?
Yeah, I know. People, like, I always say that sometimes it sounds crazy, like, but, and everybody's not the same, don't get me wrong, but it, like, I always say it was like a barrier had completely shifted, a light bulb went off. It used to be like talking to a brick wall, and I hate to call my son like that, but there was not, like, nothing was registering. Well, it was registering. He just couldn't process it.
Wow. So,
me and Dr. Dan worked together to create an even better heavy metal detox than what my son was on. And then we also work with parasites, because one of the main things with autistic kids, and I'm learning that all the autistic communities, nobody's seeking answers. They just pacify it and just keep going. That's my son right
what
there.
What a cutie. Oh my gosh, he's adorable.
He is six now, and nobody would ever, people that meet him would never know that he's autistic. Ever.
So let's go back to that again. She said diagnosed at 2.5. Talk to me a little bit about that day and what was the diagnosis?
Okay, so he was diagnosed nonverbal ASD. So complete non-talking autistic syndrome and or autism disorder. So it's that was a rough thing because at the time his behavior was horrible. I couldn't get him to do anything. Like, you know, people go out to restaurants. I was jealous of those people. My son would not sit for a length of time in a 7-hour appointment going from all these different doctors, OT therapists, speech therapists, all these different doctors, 45 minutes apiece. You know, here's some snacks. You have one toy in each, you know, doctor's room. And they spoke to you like you're stupid. That was one of my biggest things. And it was so heartbreaking because I was like, they act like they've never been around a child on the spectrum and they expect the parents to know. And you're at the mercy of them just listening to what they have to say. And there's like a lot of those parents are desperate for answers. I know families that have more than one kid on the spectrum. And like Dr. Dean acquitted to earlier, you know, now it's 1 in 20. Well, we're about to have, if they add the COVID vaccine to the childhood schedule, it's going to put the vaccines over 90 vaccines in 18 years.
Oh my gosh.
From birth to 18, it's over 90 vaccines if you count the COVID vaccine.
Wow. What was it probably when we were children?
Like we had less than five, like, I know.
That's what I was thinking.
I mean, even myself, I'm 28. Actually, I just turned 29. Whoops. Woo-hoo. Anyway, 29, and I maybe had 20, if that. Now, I grew up in a family. My mom has been a pediatric nurse my entire life. So I grew up like, you have to get your vaccines. When my son was born, I literally was telling friends, like, if your kid's not vaccinated, I don't want them coming to my kid's party.
She did a 180.
Wow. You're not kidding.
This was God's way of, one, making me very humble and saying, you have something to learn and I wouldn't change it for the world. I feel sometimes people are like, don't you regret it? Like, it would have saved your son. But I said, you know what? I wouldn't be helping other families find a pathway if my son wasn't here to show me. And God sent me my son to show me how to do this. So that's my whole purpose. And that's why I reached out with Dr. Jason, because he had a bigger platform and I'm like, I want to help. So,
and you are, that's incredible. So tell us some testimonies of what you guys have experienced. So, okay, let's walk through the protocol. They take this protocol and what is it? It's getting rid of metals or how does it work?
So go ahead,
Nick, let you know it well.
Okay. Right now the Black Friday one has both the kids parasite and heavy metals one. So while there are some people that, because the other one, we call it the autism protocol or the heavy metal, it's the heavy metal detox for kids. There's a lot of people that are, well, my kid isn't autistic. My kid isn't this, but everybody is exposed to heavy metals every single day. It can help with little things from just like tooth decay caused by lead, brain fog in kids, picky eaters. Like, people don't realize that there's so much to the autism spectrum. When we say 1 in 20, I honestly think almost everybody has a little bit of the spectrum in them, because everything from ADD, ADHD, OCD, all these things can fall on the spectrum somewhere. So when somebody tells me like, I can't get my kids to eat more than chicken nuggets and grilled cheese, I'm like, that's a vaccine injury. And they don't realize that.
Man. And on top of that, it's not just vaccines. All medications at this point essentially have heavy metals in them. And people don't realize the psychotropic drugs out there, which are putting more kids on psychotropic drugs. Psychotropic drugs are a version of street drugs, and they have heavy metals, and they also have things like fluoride in them as well.
Wow.
You know, I talk to adults all the time, you know, about, you know, like seek as many options as you possibly can on an injury, whether you got plantar fasciitis or you got a pulled muscle or hurt your back, or like, nobody is deficient in ibuprofen.
Right.
You know, nobody's deficient in an opioid or, you know, anything else that's going to be masking this stuff. And we've kind of gone away from like, well, I have this problem. There's a doctor that's going to fix it, you know, but it's like, well, what can I do to work with my body in a way that's non-addictive, that's non-harmful, that's non-toxic, that's not creating another issue down the road?
Yeah. And back to that scripture, my people will perish for a lack of knowledge. Mm-hmm. One of the things that Nicolette did, and I appreciate the autism community doing this, because moms are trying to figure stuff out. But what Nicolette did was, obviously there was a mistake made. Something happened. She went into exhaustive research. Yeah. She went, she's still today. I mean, that's why she works with us, is because from the time she gets up to the time she goes to bed, She is literally researching every single thing possible, just like we are. And so I know it sounds, it can sound tiring to a lot of parents out there, but guess what? We replaced study and research and education with Netflix and streaming videos and cell phones and everything else. True. And so people ask us all the time, how do you guys get so much done? How are you getting all this information out? Because we don't entertain ourselves with that stuff.
Right.
We now, and I know you guys are the same way, we educate. So Nicolette, literally, she exhausts herself finding this. And this is how she started helping her son, is she went in saying, I need to know more information. This is the coming age we're going into. We have to wake up as a nation. We have to educate ourselves. Our children are on the line.
Oh, it's so true. Okay, so let's say, Nicolette, somebody is on a limited budget. They're like, okay, I only have a certain amount of money to spend, but I want to help my child. They're autistic. They're somewhere on the spectrum. What do you recommend?
I recommend doing the autism protocol, get some of the heavy metals out. I truly think it does stem from the gut, and parasites are an issue, but start with heavy metals, because the autistic kids, the ones that are actually diagnosed or, you know, go undiagnosed, I think that that is one of the biggest things, is heavy metals, and people don't realize it. It literally stops the neurons in their brain from firing. So when you see kids that, especially in the autistic community, people call them tantrums, that type of thing. No, they're overstimulated because their brains can't process things correctly. And that was the big, those are some of the hardest things that I had to learn, because I had to learn how to kind of maneuver with my own son. But I will tell you, once we started cleaning up his diet, doing the heavy metal detox, then we went into healing his gut with the parasite protocol as well. It's a behavior change. I can go to the movies with my son and he sit there for the full 2 hours if I wanted to. Stuff like that. Those might not be little, those might not be big accomplishments to somebody, but moms that are struggling, that can't even go to a grocery store or sit down at a restaurant, it doesn't even matter if it's a healthy restaurant, Applebee's or whatever, you can't go anywhere because your kid will throw themselves on the floor, or you're worried about what triggers.
Yeah.
It makes the world of a difference.
It's life changing. Yeah.
It's 100%. Like we had a child actually in our office. He still comes. His grandmother brings him. We had a child who, he was, I think, 10 at the time. He's now like almost a teenager. He came in, and I'm not joking about this, and the autism community understands this, and Nicolette would understand this too. She had him in a seatbelt, not a seatbelt, but actual like a NASCAR harness. And it was strapped to a strap that she had to hold on to when he came in, because he was so autistic that he would randomly do whatever he wanted to, and he would just bolt, right? And she had to have him in there because that was the only thing that would hold him back because of his strength in his body. Wow. He was with us for about 2 years. He's still with us, but for the first 2 years, we worked on just cleaning him up. He went from nonverbal and a NASCAR harness to hold him like in control.
Yep.
He no longer has any harnesses. He's a teenager. He walks around. He talks. He hugs people. And he's not perfect, as in like from a body standpoint, but he's operable in life again. This literally, and again, I can never say, and Nicolette can never say, we're going to bring them back to literally perfect where they were.
Sure.
But let me tell you, from where they are right now, you will have an entire different life after you start cleaning this up.
Oh, especially, so they get to teenage years when they're bigger than their parents or whatever. I mean, then they would be in trouble.
There's horrible stories out there about autistic kids, like just going off and injuring, sometimes killing their parent because they're so strong. And when that brain misfires, they're not trying to do it. They just act out. That's why it's so important to get this cleaned up.
Oh, it's so important. Okay. Is there any time that it's like too late? So let's say somebody's watching right now, because I'm thinking, what are some questions that people would have? You were talking about your son was 2.5 or 3 years old when you started, you know, detoxing from metals. Let's say they're a teenager or they're even older than that. Is there a time where, oh, I'm sorry, it's just too far. It's just too long that they've had it.
No, I think that everybody should try to clean up this stuff. Like I said, everybody is introduced to heavy metals. So even if they're not on the spectrum, but you can tell teenagers, obviously they go through hormone change moods, like the mood changes and stuff like that. We are introduced to heavy metals and parasites every single day. And so I don't think that there's ever a time where it's too late. We have adults doing the heavy metal protocols and seeing changes and, like I said, brain fog and those type of things as well. Mm-hmm. So I don't think, obviously, some things with repetition of so many years, it's going to be hard to stop certain things. Like my son has like a tic type of thing where he'll kind of scratch the back of his head. He doesn't do that nearly as often. It's in high stress situations. But those are some of the things that they've been doing for so long, you might not see go away, or it might take a long time for it to go away. But I still think that everybody should clean up their gut. They're poisoning us in every way possible.
Yeah.
So true.
And you guys are always so generous with the Fiverr family. I love it. You know, when you guys put together packages and specials, and you look for ways, you're literally looking for ways. How can we make this affordable and save people money? Tell us what you guys have. And I think Thanksgiving was last week, but you're still the Black Friday, I think, runs through today, which is a Friday. What do you guys have going right now?
So those Black Friday deals that you see on the screen, we have the kids one, which you get both the Parasite and the Heavy Metal Detox plus Flora Chewable, which Flora Chewable is a pre and probiotic that helps rebuild the flora in their gut. So that's so important because their gut has been ravaged by these parasites and these heavy metals. A lot of, especially autistic kids, you see bowel problems, you know, they'll be constipated or vice versa. So it's very important to help rebuild the gut. If you take one antibiotic, it takes months to rebuild your gut just from that one dose. And people don't realize how dangerous, like today, they just give antibiotics for almost everything. So it's super important. So that's why I wanted to throw it in there for free. But I also want to mention, to make it more affordable, we do have a payment plan option through ShopPay on the site. Okay. I noticed that not many people take advantage of it, but it is there. So it does break up your payments into four.
Okay, so. That's great. That's great. So you got that. And then you have the metal detox protocol. And right now I saw it was like $99, I believe.
Yep.
And then you had Colton showing a Black Friday Para 1, Para 2.
Oh, yeah.
That
free,
that
a free Para 3. A free.
Para
3
is the best.
Para 3. Para 3
in here. Yeah, we do. We actually have the Para 3 in here right now.
I'm drinking this little water right now.
Yep.
I love it. That's so helpful. That Para 3 for shedding is so amazing. And you get it free with free shipping as well.
Man, that is incredible.
My son even takes Para 3 as well now on top of the kids' products because we got hit with shedding very hard in this house. I have a 9-month-old baby as well. She got hit really hard with it. And when we got tested through Dr. Dean's office, they said it came back for pinworms. Mm-hmm. So that's what they're ingesting. People are breathing, coughing on each other, and it's easy to pick up, especially a little baby putting stuff in her mouth. So my kids are also on Para 3. We don't go without it in this house.
Man, it's incredible. We love it. So when people go to parakiller.com, that's the website that it just takes you right to y'all's website, but it's easy to remember, parakiller.com, and use promo code FLYOVER. You get all of those specials. And then obviously Black Friday is over, but you guys have extended it to tonight at midnight. And so if y'all watching, it's tonight at midnight. You can still get those deals when you go to parakiller.com. Use promo code FLYOVER. Thank you all so much for your time. We really appreciate it. Thank you for your testimony. It's so encouraging.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by go, you know the thing.
We will shut you down. We will cite you. And if we need to, we will arrest you and we will take you to jail. Period.
I wasn't thinking of the Bill of Rights when we did this.
But no amendment to the Constitution is absolute.
God actually spoke to me. He spoke about sacredness. He said to me, Kim, what I place in many, many people is sacred. And if anybody touches what is sacred to me, then it is the end for them. So what I've done in the United States of America is sacred. And there are people on every side that are trying to destroy what I deem sacred. And it's not going to happen.
This is the definition of criminal conspiracy, racketeering, and collusion. This is not a theory. This is evidence.
Because I have upheld this country to spread a light to the rest of the world.
go and get the sacred thing that God put into the very heart and the soil of this nation. This was sacred to God.
This Reawaken tour is literally what it means. It has reawakened the American heart. USA! USA! USA!
USA! USA! USA! For more great content, go to flyoverconservatives.com.